Mississippi's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. On this April 8th, this Easter weekend, Masters weekend, a lot going on across the street today. We've got the Oakland Athletics taking on the red hot Tampa Bay Rays at 7-0. Did you ever think in your wildest imagination that this club would start the season? They won the first two series, they're undefeated, and looks like the potential for another sweep.
Yeah, I mean, every time you go into a new season, you're always expecting the best out of the team, and I don't think anybody could predict this, Mike.
The first time a team has gone 6-0 in 9 years, very impressive. But I think you're going to have to maintain that kind of performance and delivery if you are going to win that Eastern Division.
Oh, yeah, and this Rays 7-0 start trails only the 2003 Royals 9 straight wins for the longest season opening win streak.
What year with Royals?
Wild card era. This was the 2003 Royals.
Really? I thought it would be one of the Royals teams in the 80s. Because you weren't born, but those were the George Brett, the impressive Royals.
Yeah, I like those Royals, Mike. Remember, I'm a big Dan Quisenberry fan.
Oh, yeah, you're the sidewinder.
Oh, yeah.
He is Ben Botham. He's my Savannah State number one draft pick. And, of course, he's now coaching at Seminole High School. You guys had a nice week, and congratulations. Your win over Osceola, one of your really now even more vaunted rivalries. I saw a little bit of their sportsmanship at the end of your game, and I wasn't too impressed.
Yeah, Osceola, us and them, we really don't get along too well, Mike. So, that's been the same since I was there back in
backyard ball. This is the Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah, this kind of decides who's the king of the bridge that separates our two schools.
King of the bridge. So, I forgot about that.
So it was a very good win, and also, Mike, we also toppled Mitchell in a 2-0 victory over them on Thursday as well.
And I see that Dunedin and Calvary Christian had a game this past week as well.
Yeah, they certainly did, but the big news is that Dunedin lost to St. Pete High. St. Pete High,
all the Green Devils,
out of nowhere, St. Pete High is a formidable threat right now in high school baseball. So we will be playing them later on this year, and I'm excited for that match as well.
Well, you're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Each and every Saturday we're down here. Been doing this for 2.5 years now. Can't believe it's been that long. Kenny Knowles, 2.5 years we've been down here. And fumbling, stumbling, and bumbling. If I do more of that today, I'll give you the reason why. You know, this world of technology, hours of preparation, getting all the calls and the numbers and making sure it's all modified so it just flows right out of my mouth, and my laptop crashes. And so we're just winging it. We've got Randy Handel. He'll be coming on board. The Frozen Four. Who would have thought that you had the NCAA hockey Frozen Four in Tampa Bay? It's not the first time. Tampa, Florida, at Amalie Arena.
Well, believe it or not, Mike, Florida has the most hockey rinks per capita out of any other state in the United States.
I can't believe you bought that factoid, baseball, Ben.
Yeah, I know a decent bit about hockey. I like
good.
Hockey.
I'm glad somebody does. So we'll be talking to Randy Handel, my good buddy Pat Cooper, aligned us with this conversation. Of course, they're playing in the national championship tonight against Quinnipiac, and looking forward to that game, who upset the Michigan Wolverines. And then we're going to talk to Mark Orlando. He's a good friend of mine, our buddy, unofficial producer Barry Smith. And we're going to talk to him. He's a former quarterback and near and dear to your heart. I mean, he was involved with Texas A&M. He's now at Grambling. And you attended one of those schools.
Yeah, in HBCU. I saw that he also was with Bethune-Cookman as well, one of our rivals, and FAMU. So it's cool to see another MEAC, a product of the MEAC coming out here.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Oh, well, we're efforting Randy. Let's go there. He of course, very busy as the athletic director. Got a lot of people in from Minneapolis. I talked to him last night. A lot of benefiters taking care of them here in the great Tampa Bay area. Peter Gollenbach, he's a regular. I know you always like to go back and forth with Peter Gollenbach. He, of course, wrote Bronx Zoo and about 35 other books, for the most part, all baseball and sports related. And about a little debate. You two can talk Rays, and I'll talk Yankees with him. And then John Bacchia, of course. John is an accomplished producer and writer. We've talked to him before. Baseball Today was the production that he had. And then we'll wrap up March Madness and what took place. What is it? The O's in 2016. We got Matt, and I'll provide us information. That was the last team to go undefeated this early in the season. John Bacchia joins us. We'll talk to him. And then we'll wrap up with Alex Reba, and we'll talk March Madness, and you guys can talk Rays. I went to the game with Kenny last Sunday, and it's probably about 20,000 strong. The attendance has been superb to start this season out. When you take a look, you know, they're not playing, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees these first three series. Got the A's. You have the Tigers.
Yeah, the Rays are averaging right around 20,000 fans a game right now.
It's fabulous.
Spectacular. But the Oakland A's who are playing in the series they're having a little trouble getting fans out to the stadium there. I know it's crumbling and everyone, you know, really hates the Oakland Coliseum. It seems like it's the Trop and the Oakland Coliseum that everyone likes to rag on, but
here's how sad that facility is. I actually went to a game there between the Oakland A's and the Baltimore Orioles. And this is 1971. I was a kid, and we went on a family vacation. My brother and I went to that stadium. And that old dinosaur is still the home of the Oakland A's.
Yeah, I mean, even when they were facing off against Ohtani and Trout, they couldn't get enough fans there to match most AAA teams. 11 AAA teams drew more fans than the A's did for opening week. And that means that they only beat two AAA teams in attendance, where the A's allegedly only got 3,407 fans to show up to opening day.
Well, I tell you what, the Savannah Bananas.
Yep,
they're probably outdrawing them.
The Savannah Bananas have sold out every single year of their existence, Mike. They have never had a non-sellout game, which is unbelievable. You know, every single game, there's free hot dogs, free hamburgers, free water, free soda. You know, it's the tickets that you pay for. It's the beer that you pay for. Everything else is all included in such a great environment. And the A's can definitely learn something from that, I think.
Well, speaking of learning from something to promote attendance, how about $6 Bud Lights over here all weekend long? $10 tickets down low?
Oh,
unheard
yeah.
of.
They added thousands more $10 tickets to the already thousands of $10 tickets for every home game they're doing this season.
We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and today, come on down, watch a little baseball. You got the Frozen Four, of course, and not a sport that you're going to be glued to, but we just got done talking and on the tee, Florida. The Masters, in case you missed it, I'll give you an update. It's going to be horrible weather up there in Augusta for the next 2 days, 50 degrees. Actually had a little light snow. You know, you went to college in Georgia. Not often that you have snow in Georgia.
Yeah, they told me when I went on my visit, oh, it'll never snow here in Georgia. We've never had it in 20 years. What do you know? Snowed for the first time in 20 years when I showed up there, and it was
miserable. Is that the first time your Florida carcass had ever seen the white stuff?
No, I've made it out to Colorado once or twice, seen a little bit of snow, but that was the first time I actually had to do some driving in it and really interact in it, and it was miserable. But I did hear, Mike, that on the 17th hole at Augusta, three trees fell down near a group of patrons?
Hey, on 17. And I tell you what, if you watch that footage, there was nine people, and their chairs were lined up. And fortunately, it was a loud enough crackle. And one, this had to have been, I don't know if you guys saw it, had to have been like 50 feet high, that tree. And they scurried. One gal, it was three trees, not one. One gal didn't move, and God was watching over her, because the tree went down. The tree went down over here, and she was just like in the middle, just froze. Everybody else scurried, and their chairs just got absolutely flattened.
You know what they say, if you don't move, it won't hit you, Mike. They always say that in baseball. I don't know if it falls true with trees, but.
No, not in baseball.
Yeah, so, but that's, I couldn't believe it, Mike. You know, you look at the Masters and you think it's just a pristine location. You never expect that kind of thing to happen. And how fast do you think they got that off the course there, Mike? Clean it up and already put another 100-foot tree in its place?
I'm telling you right now, we just talked to the growler, Lynn Strickland. He said 1983, when it rained unbelievably like it is now, they had 100 people squeegeeing those greens.
Squeegeeing, Mike?
Squeegeeing them, 1983. Hey, I'm going to you rally with some more factoids why I do a little damage control, since I have my ADD in full force, age deficit disorder, and attention deficit disorder. I sent the wrong phone number to my man Matt, and I just sent it to you. Once you get Randy, he's waiting for you, but probably wondering where the heck we are. He is the athletic director of the Minnesota Gophers, and it is a Frozen Four. Right this week, last night, that was a Thursday night. That was a great game. Did you watch any of that hockey?
No, I didn't catch it. Doing some baseball stuff, you know, working on the team for Seminole High School, plugging in information to all these new pitch count services that they have that as high school coaches we have to keep up with now. But I did see, Mike, we were speaking of promotions earlier. Do you see that the Clearwater Threshers are bringing back the dollar tickets to the stadium? Starting April 11th, the return of Dollar Tuesdays at Spectrum Field is returning with dollar hot dogs, dollar 16-ounce sodas, and dollar 12-ounce beers, and, of course, $1 tickets to get into the stadium.
I was talking to Terry last night. I said we need to take your grandchildren, and I'll tell you what, absolutely love going to minor league baseball games because of that factor. They have a little music. When I was with the AAA Iowa Cubs, we did those type of things all the time. Well, he's been very patient, and I'll fess up as we get ready to bring Randy into the conversation. Randy Handel, he's with the University of Minnesota, enjoying this heat of Tampa, and the Gophers are making a statement, and tonight they play in the national championship. And you know what the problem was, Randy, trying to get a hold of you?
Good afternoon, Mike. Great to be with you.
Well, operator error on my part. I typed the wrong number in for the studio, so I apologize for the delay, my man. So are you enjoying yourself? Obviously, you are from a wins and loss perspective and representing the program, but are you enjoying the heat of Tampa?
Well, we're not only enjoying the heat, we are just so grateful to the city of Tampa and all the tournament committee and volunteers. This has been spectacular in the manner that they've been hosting this tournament. And you can really see how much everybody here cares, and we feel it. And I mean, everywhere you go, the Frozen Four banners, the promotion that's taken place, you can see there's a lot of pride, and you get into Amalie Arena, what a venue. And so this has been very special for us. And yeah, the heat helps too. That doesn't make it bad. It's good.
Well, my young right hand man here, Ben Botham, say hello to Randy. Give him that factoid about ice rinks in the state of Florida.
Yeah, the state of Florida has the most per capita ice rinks out of any other state in the union. Believe it or not.
Wow, I can't believe that.
Yeah, because when I first moved down here, you know, the Florida Panthers, and you've got the obviously the success of the Bolts, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was just astounded coming from Iowa in the Midwest and thinking, you know, hockey down here, and then I get this kind of information. Probably a lot, you know, there's so many transplants, but hockey, the Lightning are the best by far run organization of all of our organizations down here in Tampa Bay.
It's been very, very impressive, Bob. We've had a blast, and we're certainly very well aware of the organizational excellence with the Bolts and top to bottom, and we can see why it's such a big deal down here. But it's been a lot of fun for us. Been a lot of fun, and we're very grateful. We're very excited about tonight.
How was the fan base following? Did they come down for the event? The Minnesota Gopher fan base.
We've had a tremendous response, and I think we're actually probably going to have some people that are coming in hot today as well. We're going to have an alumni gathering here. I've got a group of about 100-plus alumni coming over at 5 o'clock today, pregame. And I think we're going to have a nice response with some new people coming in from Minneapolis here today, now that we're in the championship game. So it's been a great response. The opening game with BU, tremendous fan engagement by both schools, but Minnesota was well represented.
Talk a little bit about that game. As you said to me last night, you know, it's so exciting, but it's just a matter of one score here or there that dictates whether you're going to be in the championship game. And just like Michigan and Quinnipiac, I mean, it went down to the wire, and you guys were in the same situation.
That's exactly right. You know, hockey's such a funny game. You can look at the final score, and it might be 5-2, and you might think, well, the team that won had the thing in control the entire game. And, you know, here we are, the first 5 minutes of the first period, we are just peppering the net, and we just can't get it in. It's going off the bar, and the next thing you know, they score. We battle back. It's 2-1. Then it's 2-2 in the third period. Like you said, it's just, it can be one bad bounce, one misplay, and all of a sudden now you're on your heels a little bit. So credit to BU, great team, great program. And but we stepped up, and we've had a magical year, and we've got just an absolutely wonderful leader in Bob Motzko. We've got a really strong cast. This is certainly one of the strongest defensive cores that Minnesota has had. And it's just not the first line of Nyes, Cooley, and Snuggerud. I mean, our second and third lines are outstanding. And so we've got, you could probably make a case that we've got the total package. But Quinnipiac comes in, and they've got an outstanding program, and they demonstrated against Michigan what they're capable of. So I expect tonight to be a great, great classic championship game.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here in the heart of downtown St. Pete at 410 across the street, Tropicana Field. We got the Oakland Athletics and the red-hot Tampa Bay Rays sitting at 7-0. We're talking to Randy Handel, of course, my good friend Pat Cooper. He was down here a year ago today with his lovely bride, Anita, and we watched a little Masters, went to the Blues Festival, and had an absolute blast. And, you know, I'm sure you're a sports fan, Randy, being in the business so long. What's the Twins look like this year?
I'm sorry, I lost you there, Mike.
I said, being in the sports industry all these years and up in the Twin Cities, I'm sure you are a Minnesota Twins fan. Give us a little preview of what the fans are anticipating out of Target Field this year.
Yeah, good start. Really good start. I think we were looking in the off season. I think everybody felt like if we could maybe add a few on the pitching side, and we've done that. So good start. I think it's going to be a very fine season for the Twins. And, you know, it's going to get warmer now in Minneapolis, so that's going to help us as far as getting outside and being able to play. We opened up with a good win over the Astros yesterday in the home opener, 3-2, so it's good. But I think it's in a good space. David St. Peter is the best and does such great work with that organization. And it's going to be a big year for the Twins.
Let's talk about Coach Motzko real quick, if you would. You know, he's at St. Cloud State, and he's just he's had a lot of success. The more I read about him, I realize, you know, how he's respected in the hockey community collegiately and at the youth level, and obviously the entire platform of hockey.
Well, you know, I'm obviously pretty biased because I get to spend time with him almost daily, but the word great is maybe overused a little bit, but I think Bob is one of the really special great coaches, and he possesses those gifts that the great ones have. You know, they're first and foremost, they're terrific teachers, and Bob is a terrific teacher. He's a wonderful communicator, and he's got a plan. You know, he can obviously recruit, but what I love is that he's got this rapport with the kids. His focus is on the kids, you know, their welfare, and the bar is set high, and Bob brings all of those gifts together, and he's worked extremely hard. When he arrived, this is where we wanted to get to. He wanted to bring in a team that had a great defense, that had a great goalie, that had some offensive skill, and he's almost a savant in being able to just know which kids fit and which kids don't, and there's plenty to choose from, and so he's done a beautiful job of bringing this together, and this isn't going to be a one-time thing with Bob Motzko. I think there's great days ahead, but what's really wonderful about Bob, he's all about serving others. It's not about Bob Motzko. He talks often about, you know, right now, Randy, it's my turn, and we want to turn and hand the baton off to somebody in the future and make the program better than when we got it, and that's what he's certainly doing.
And that's the process of building a program in any sport, as you're well aware of, you know, the programs that are rich in tradition. And speaking of hockey, NCAA hockey, one thing that's really unique about it is some of the smaller schools, you know, they don't compete at the higher levels, you know, BU, Quinnipiac, you got, you know, University of Nebraska at Omaha, and, you know, across the country, you've got these smaller schools that are basically playing the Titans, the Giants from a population perspective. I think I always like that kind of underdog look at that sport.
I agree. You know, Mike, I think one of the things that you do as a coach is you have to build a plan on what it's going to allow you to be successful. And I think at the places that you mentioned, and hockey is unique. You know, you don't necessarily have a bunch of 18-year-olds just coming in as freshmen. You blend in a few, but you find some of these schools, you mix, you get a nice group that get some time with the juniors, and so they're coming in. I remember we played Union, Mankato, you know, and you're looking at rosters that have, you know, young men that are 24 years old, and and so that enables them to be in a position to be successful, and it's good for hockey. It's truly good for hockey.
All right, before we let you go, the man on the microphone on the other end, why don't you do a little bio and tell the audience how you got where you're at?
Well, it's all attributed to Pat Cooper. Coop is the guy. He's the one that made it all possible for me. No, seriously, I started out as a teacher coach, so I coached college basketball, college baseball. But I think, you know, what's really most important, not so much about me, Mike, but I think college athletics right now is in such an interesting time. And if I might just say a word on that, you know, for the last 15, 20 years, the focus in the Big Ten has been about facilities and just trying to do everything you can to provide the opportunities for young people. We're in a very interesting time right now. We're trying to manage a number of new things. We've got NIL, name, image, and likeness. We've got transfer portal. We've got all this conference expansion and realignment. We've got the immediate rights deal. You know, we're hearing that, you know, the possibility of student athletes maybe becoming employees of an athletic department. We've got a new NCAA president. There's talk about, you know, will the federal legislation get involved. So this is really, I don't want to use the word chaotic, but it's a very challenging time right now managing all this. And I think the next couple of years, college athletics might look quite different here in a couple of years. And so I think everybody's trying to navigate this. We're fortunate to have a great AD in Mark Coyle who's leading us through this time. But it's always been about the student athletes, and that'll remain the case. But it's an interesting time for all of us right now, not just the University of Minnesota, but college athletics in general.
Well, I was happy to see the University of Minnesota when they got their own wonderful field on campus, because back in the day, being a Hawkeye fan, I remember going up to the Metrodome before they blew that baby up and watching games. And I went up to a Viking game or two and Twins game living in Northwest Iowa. But it was great to see you guys finally get a gorgeous stadium right there on. And it made it feel more like it was the university's versus you were renting space, right?
Couldn't agree with you more. I think we lost probably a generation almost with not being on campus. And so TCF Bank stepped up, and now it's Huntington Bank Stadium. But it's a great, great facility, great venue. And it's probably about the right size for us. We're in a pretty big pro market, and so the 50,000, we can fill 50,000 and have a great home environment. It's certainly been wonderful for our fans, and we do have a nice home field advantage, but it's been good, and we're in a good position. You know, Mike, we're in a good position right now, and it's a great league, and we'll bring on UCLA and USC in a year, and so it's a very interesting time. It's a great league with plenty of star power in both coaches and players, and that's what makes it special.
It's going to be a unique era. I do believe they need to get their arms around all these changes, but that will take several years, as you're well aware of, being in this that environment on a day-to-day basis. Outside looking in from a sports broadcaster's perspective, to quote the great Kirk Herbstreit, who I respect, it's the wild, wild west right now, and they need to get their arms around it. You said it a lot more eloquently, and it'll be interesting to sit back and watch the direction that things take place. Well, I know the direction they're going right now, University of Minnesota, with class acts like you. But I can't believe I'm saying this. I'll be rooting for the Gophers. It's the second night in a row that I'll be doing that. Anytime that anybody from the Big Ten, though, is playing anybody in the South, I guarantee you, I'll flip those colors in a minute for Big Ten colors, because it's us against the SEC and the ACC down here in Florida. So I'll don any other colors.
I love it, and thank you so much. I feel the same way, and I want you to know what a pleasure it's been to be with you. Gosh, what a special man you are, and so grateful for all you do.
Well, thank you very much. Did Pat Cooper send you that line to read? If he's listening, thanks, Cooper.
Bold capital letters. Coop is the best.
All right, man. Go take care of those people that keep you guys going. I know how that the benefactors and the people that help you, that's a very important piece of collegiate athletics. So enjoy your time. Get a W and get back home for the celebration.
Thanks so much, Mike. What a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Let's take a break. That's unique, wasn't it, Ben?
A lot of people don't realize how big these events are. This was the third largest crowd for the Frozen Four in its 75-year history here. Amalie Arena, the third largest.
Well, Matt up there on the controls, he's texting me, "Hey, I know hockey, man. You need to get me involved in conversation anytime."
Good. I let you handle for the record, it's pronounced Quinnipiac. That's who Minnesota's playing for the title. It's pronounced Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac. Thank you, Matt. Keep me in line, buddy. Keep me in my own lane. Quinnipiac. Where are they from?
I'm from Long Island.
Where's Quinnipiac from?
Quinnipiac's in Connecticut.
Gotcha. All right, my man. Let's take a break on that. Matt, thanks for the factoid. A little hockey information. And we'll be back, and we're going to talk a little collegiate football back in the day. And we'll be right back with Mark Orlando here live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure Bait Super Scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this Easter Saturday. We've got very special guests in the house, and we need to recognize them before we go to Mark Orlando and Ben Botham. Do the introductions to the greatest baker I have ever run my past, the best banana bread on the planet. And I'm sure you learned all that from this young lady. And introduce your mother and your nana.
Sure, this is my wonderful mother, Judy, and my...
I can attest to that.
And my wonderful nana, Lola, over here. Hi, Lola. How's it going?
Lola's a warrior.
That's our number one listener right there, Mike. She's listening to every show, always, always listening to the show.
Well, thank you, Lola, and thank you, dear, for bringing this young man on the planet, because he's a great kid. He's a great kid. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got a good little goodie bag there, Mike.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey, set them. Go get a tab going on me. Yep, absolutely.
Don't get Nana too much, Mike. She
whatever Nana wants.
Lucy,
whatever Nana wants, she gets while she's down here. So Nana just got out of the hospital, right?
No, that's my other grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah, Nana's 97. She's doing pretty all right. My other grandma, she's 90 now, but she's fighting back. They got her up and
so
walking.
So this lady's 97?
97 years old.
Holy moly. Mark Orlando, thanks for taking time to join us. I think you'll agree that's pretty impressive. 97 years old. Come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I want to thank you for taking time on this Easter Saturday to join us. How are you, my man?
I'm doing good, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here. I remember I had a 97-year-old grandmother, too. That's very special.
Oh, yeah. She's a great listener, a great fan, and we're happy to have her out here. But thank you for coming on the show. We're really excited to have you.
Well, like I said, Mike, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad. I forgot you guys were an hour ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over here in Santa Rosa Beach up in the Panhandle.
I gotcha. Well, that's Ben Botham, my right-hand man that interjected, and he'll do a lot of the conversations because he actually played baseball at Savannah State. He's from St. Pete area, Seminole High School, and he actually played baseball, and he knows a lot of the organizations and the schools that you worked at, Mark.
Yeah. Now, Savannah State, they have a heck of a program up there. I'm not too sure about, I know they had a good baseball program, but their football program, I think, just recently have started to come on. They struggled a little bit when they, about 2010, 2011, I was at Bethune-Cookman, and we had played Savannah State, and they were just getting their program started, but I think it's back on, strong ground right now, and they're doing pretty well. They're in the MEAC conference over there, so yeah, it's a beautiful campus, and they've had some great athletes come through there too. I think one of the Sharp brothers played college football there, Shannon Sharp, I think, and you know what his background is as far as in the professional ranks.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp, of course, a Savannah State grad. He did play football there. And most of the time, I will say, you're Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M usually had our number, though, in football. But in baseball, we had some pretty good competition between, I see that you graduated from Florida A&M. Is that correct, 1983?
Well, no, I I graduated from Florida State 50 years ago. I was starting quarterback at Florida State.
You were throwing the ball to our unofficial producer, Barry Smith, weren't you?
Well, Barry graduated the year ahead of me. He graduated in 72, but I in 1972, I was a traveling redshirt quarterback when Gary Huff was the quarterback, and Barry was the wide receiver, and both of them were All-Americans. So, I got a chance to, I would throw passes to Barry, but they were in practice. So I wish it was during the game, but they both graduated in 72, and then I came up in 73. Of course, we had a pretty tough season that year. And in 1983, I did receive my master's degree from Florida A&M. So I got a degree in health and physical education from Florida A&M, and started coaching there though in 1978.
Yeah. So what was it like coaching at an HBCU? I know that there's some struggles that come along with it. That a lot of times you either don't get a lot of the funding or a lot of the recognition that some of the larger PWIs will receive.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, of course, back in the late 70s, we won the first national championship in the state of Florida in 1978. Florida A&M brought the first national championship. We won the first Division I AA national championship at Florida A&M in Tallahassee. You're right. The funding, the facilities, a lot of those things were subpar. And for us to be able to go out and recruit, and the scope of recruiting was changing in the late 70s. A lot of your black athletes now were going to predominantly white schools. I mean, when I first entered, and Barry will tell you the same thing, when I first entered Florida State in 1971, we might have had four or five black athletes on the entire team. By 1978, 79, a lot of your top black athletes, especially in the state of Florida, were starting to attend, your major white schools like Florida State. Deion, I remember at Florida A&M, we were trying to recruit Deion Sanders out of high school. And, of course, you know, he would bypass us and go into and go to Florida State, where if it was 10 or 15 years earlier, he would have been. So a lot of it, the big thing where the athletes were starting to bypass the HBCUs and go into major predominantly white universities.
Well, we see now with Deion Sanders, he's done a lot of work to kind of promote HBCUs. Have you noticed anything, students more willing to go to an HBCU over a PWI now with some of the work that he's done?
Well, I mean, I think Deion, you know, I was there, I was at Grambling. I was the offensive coordinator at Grambling, and Deion came in at a time when COVID hit, you know, the country. And, you know, he brought super attention to HBCU. I mean, you know, I'd already been in HBCU coaching for about 40 years. And when Deion got into, you know, Jackson State and HBCU football, all of a sudden now everybody knew what HBCU stood for. I don't think a lot of people even knew that HBCU was a historically black college and a university until Deion got to Jackson State. So he brought a lot of hype to HBCU football. And, you know, I thought that was good, you know, but in a way, in the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't going to be something that was going to last very long, you know. And even though he brought that hype, you know, I think he realized that it was just going to be a stepping stone for him to get out of there. And which he did.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this April 8th, this Easter weekend, this Easter Saturday. And, of course, at 410 across the street, it's the Oakland A's as they visit the Tampa Bay Rays, the red-hot Tampa Bay Rays, sitting at 7-0. We're having a nice conversation with Mark Orlando. He was the starting quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles in the early 70s. And I've been blessed to meet a lot of cool cats that Barry Smith brought our way. And looking at your career and your commitment to collegiate athletics is just a testament of the quality person that you are, Mark Orlando, and I'm sure it was rewarding your entire career.
Well, I mean, it was. I really enjoyed every minute of it. You know, getting out of Florida State, I wasn't sure if I was going to get into coaching, but, you know, I my degree was in education, and one of the high school teachers asked me, and he said, "Hey, I'd love to have you come out here and coach our you know, football team at Lincoln High School." And I started to do that, and all of a sudden the bug hit me. You know, I said, "Hey, you know, I couldn't be a player as far as going into professional football like Barry and Gary and those guys, but, you know, I realized, hey, maybe I can get into coaching and coaching college football." And I remember Shan Daly was an assistant coach at Florida. And Sam was up watching some of our athletes. He was recruiting at Lincoln. And I asked Shan after practice, I said, "Shan, how do you get into college coaching?" And he said, "Well, you got to be a graduate assistant first." And so I said, "Okay." Well, Bobby Bowden had just gotten a head job at FSU. He said, "Go talk to Coach Bowden." And I went over there, and he already had in mind someone else that he was going to give that graduate assistant position to. So I was walking around the mall one day and saw that they had a position open at Florida A&M, and which was a big historically black college, and Rudy Hubbard was the head coach there. And I called him up, and he said, "Yeah, we'd love to have you over here." And he gave me my first college coaching opportunity. And then we went on and won the first Division I AA national championship in my first year of coaching. So, yeah, it was fantastic. Go ahead.
Hey, and all of your years of coaching, before we let you go, name one athlete that ended up going into the professional ranks that really, you know, you knew it was a class act, and you enjoyed coaching and the type of role it became.
One player that I coached against that was unbelievable was Steve Air McNair at Alcorn. When we first got to Southern in 1993, our big rival game was against Alcorn State, and Steve McNair was quarterback then, and boy, was he was something to watch. And Steve McNair, but
today.
I had two young men that I recruited. Anthony Pleasant, a big defensive tackle out of Century, Florida, and Larry Tharp, a big offensive tackle. Now, they're not big NFL names, but they both played for 8 to 10 years in the NFL, and both of these guys weren't recruited out of high school. I mean, I found them, you know, just beating the bushes, and both of them ended up playing over 10 years in the National Football League. Larry blocked for Barry Sanders with Detroit Lions, and Big Anthony played for both the Steelers and the Patriots and has 2 Super Bowl rings.
Well, my friend, I could talk an hour with you, but we'll get you on another time and continue this conversation. I appreciate you taking the time out and thanking my unofficial producer, Barry Smith, for getting you into our world.
Well, I enjoy it, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
All right, brother. And that's Mark Orlando. And, you know, you went to Savannah State. It is a challenge. And you know, without getting into the racial issue, it still is a challenge. And he obviously had a lot of success. You had a superb career and a great experience there. But there are some factors in that, isn't there?
There certainly are. And I mean, we've seen it from some of the coaches recently who have gone to schools like Bethune-Cookman, who have struggled getting, you know, helmets just for all the players, where players had to swap out helmets in between plays for those who were on the field and who weren't on the field. And it does make it difficult. We don't have the funding that a lot of PWIs have.
Well, let's go to our Body Armor, of course, prep connection with our good friend Brad Richardson. He's our expert. We got about 8 minutes, and he's going to wind down this week in high school sports for us. How are you, Bradley?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Happy Saturday. Happy Easter weekend.
You too, my man. So well, what do you got for us in our prep connection conversation?
Well, just real quick, just this past week, the FHSAA released their rankings and all that in baseball, softball, and in flag football. So when I go through this stuff this week, you'll get a chance to hear what they say so far just before going into district. So anyway, you ready?
Fire away, my man.
Fire it away. All right. So first of all, I'm going to start off with something that me and Ben like to talk about, and that's Seminole Warhawks baseball. Right now, the Warhawks are on a 6-game winning streak, and this past week, it was a big week for them. 2 district games that they had, 2 big ones. Monday, they faced off against Clearwater, 10-0 win, obviously a big district win. Evan Miller pitched 4 innings to get the win. He would also go 2-for-3 with a double and a triple. Christian New would wind things down too, going 3-for-3 during the game. Now, as the one that we want to talk about, the big rivalry game and district game of the week, one of the big ones, is Seminole versus Osceola. The big rivalry, of course. Tyler Saunders started on the mound, pitched a complete game, 4 strikeouts. But I got to tell, the Seminole defense this past week was absolutely incredible during that game. Big hits by junior Alex Espelotas. He would go 3-for-4 with a double. Senior Jackson Graydon would go 2-for-3, 2 RBIs and a double. Final score, bragging rights, it all goes to Seminole 4-1. And then a big game this week, Mitchell, rated number 61 in the state of Florida, number 4 in 6A Region 2. Kendall Hoffman on the mound. 5 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts. Zach Pinsent would close the game with 2. Final score, 2-0. Seminole now with a 14-4 record will be at Palm Harbor on Tuesday. Now, another big game here. Dunedin versus Calvary Christian. The Falcons, 13-3, Calvary Christian Warriors, 15-3. Now, this past week, Dunedin took a big loss to Safety High School, 5-4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and on Monday, they faced the Warriors, who are ranked right now number 23 in Florida. Falcons are currently number 34. Yeah, I tell you, this was a pitching duel with both teams. Landon Baradas of Calvary Christian versus Trey Beard. It was 3 innings constantly, but Calvary pulled ahead in the top of the 4th inning. Morotis of Calvary pitched 5 innings with 5 strikeouts. Hunter Deets would close. And, of course, Trey Beard, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts. Regal, their number 2, would come in to pitch. Final score, 8-1, Calvary Christian. Dunedin will face IMG Academy at home Tuesday, as Calvary will be heading over to Venice High School to play the Venice High School Indians on Tuesday. Another big game this week, the East Lake Eagles versus Holland. East Lake ranked number 85, as Holland is ranked number 94. East Lake is, of course, first in 6A District 10. Holland's, of course, in Seminole District, ranked third in 5A District 10. East Lake, Wade Johnson pitched a complete game, racking up, get this, 10 strikeouts. And Holland's Ryland Bosenhard pitched 5 innings, getting 3 strikeouts. Mike Mercado would come in to close the game. Big hitters, get this. So, sophomore Dylan Taft had 3 at-bats, a single, a double, and a home run. Absolutely incredible right now with a .375 batting average. Holland's heads to Tarpon Springs on Monday. Right now with a 10-6 record. East Lake will face Northeast on Wednesday, record 11-3. Routing out Northside Christian versus Cambridge Christian. The Northside is, of course, the top-ranked team right now with a 13-4 record in 2A District 9. Dryas Alvarez would start, pitch 4 innings, and racking up 6 strikeouts. Aiden Alvarez, I believe it's his brother, getting 7 strikeouts and finishing out. Final score 4-0. Northside Christian will play, get this, First Preparatory Christian Academy from Georgia, 14-5 record. This will be on Monday. Other scores, IRC versus Freedom, 6-5 as the Golden Eagles take the win. St. Pete Green Devils versus Tarpon Springs, 6-0. St. Pete takes the win. And finally, Lakewood versus Pinellas Park, 11-10, and Pinellas Park would come on top with that one. All right, it's time to get to the ladies here. Softball, of course, the big one to talk about, Osceola versus Berkeley Prep. 11-6 Osceola right now versus 11-4 Berkeley Prep. Osceola currently ranked number 1 in 5A District 8, number 69 by the FHSAA. Berkeley Prep would hold the lead for 5 innings, but then in the top of the 6th inning, Osceola would drive in 2 runs to tie the game, and it came down to the bottom of the 7th when Berkeley would drive in 1 run to take the win. Final score, 6-5. Osceola will face Palm Harbor on Wednesday. Speaking of Palm Harbor will be facing off against our Seminole Lady Warhawks. Right now, the Hurricanes are 13-5, as Seminole is 9-3. Palm Harbor is second in 7A District 7, ranked number 53 in the state of Florida. Pitcher Miley Stroud pitched a complete game with 5 strikeouts. Kendall Hyatt would go 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs and a triple. And Katie Crater would go 2-for-4 with a triple. Final score 5-0. Palm Harbor will face Pinellas Park on Tuesday, and Seminole will play Tarpon on Tuesday as well. Now, Calvary Christian, of course, we can't not talk about them. You know, Calvary right now 12-6 with Mitchell 9-9. Calvary Christian softball right now is ranked number 8 in the state of Florida. And I've talked about her a couple times on the show. Peyton Cushman went 3-for-4, including a 3-run home run. Multi-hit games for Alexis Camarieto and Morgan Talley. When she pitched a complete game shutout with 11 strikeouts and giving up only 4 hits. Right now, Talley has so far 8 home runs this season and 80 strikeouts. Incredible. And Warriors will... They defeated Mitchell 8-0. Calvary will face Lakewood Ranch on Tuesday. Mitchell will face Enclote on Monday. Finally, we can go to our flag football girls and everything like that. Osceola, still undefeated with an 8-0 record, ranked right now number 44 in the state of Florida. They will play Lakewood on Tuesday. Lakewood right now is 5-3, and they are ranked number 66 in the state of Florida.
Well, Bradley, we got to wind things down. As usual, you did a superb job of giving us our weekly prep. We'll get you down next week for a longer segment. We'll evaluate because we're winding down the baseball and the softball season, and we'll get an analysis of the district and how things look for the playoffs.
All righty.
All right, he's Brad Richardson. That's our Body Armor Prep Connection. He does a heck of a job, man.
He certainly does, and he's great on the mic, too, at all Seminole High School baseball games at Brinker Field, historic Brinker Field.
Historic Brinker Field, the little karma. I still can't believe that Osceola ended your game. What was that final score?
The final score of the Osceola game, I believe it was.
Was that a walk-off or anything?
No, it wasn't even a walk-off. It was just a good game by
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.